Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." New American Standard says, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The Amplified Version says, "Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord." Now, fathers are being addressed in this verse. And here we are told as fathers that we are not to exasperate our children, but we are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want to ask you, why do you think fathers are addressed? They're to be the head of the home, correct? All right. In some cases, that's not how it is. But fathers are to be the head of the home. And they should be the one that is overseeing the training and the instruction of their children. Now, mothers play a huge role in this also. But the father or the dad is to be the one who is leading in the training of the children. Now, sometimes I think us dads, we fail in this because we put all the responsibility on mom. It's my job as a dad. My kids are going to be raised according to what, how I guide and how I allow that to happen. And even with my wife, I can work alongside of her, and we can work together to help train our children, but I need to play an active part in that. Does everybody see that? Fathers are very, very important. And we want to consider in this class here this morning a growing church in the training and instruction of our children. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." What does it mean to train your children? Well, in the Greek, this word means the whole training and education of children. Whatever in adults also cultivates the soul, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing the passions. Instruction, which aims at the increase of virtue. In the Oxford Dictionary, it says, "To teach a person or an animal a particular skill or type of behavior through regular practice and instruction." Is there a need today to train our children? I'd like to read you something that I found. How to train your child to be a delinquent. Now, I want you to listen to this. When your kid is still an infant, give him everything he wants. This way, you'll think the world owes him a living when he grows up. Never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and let him decide for himself. Avoid using the word wrong. It will give your child a guilt complex. You can condition him to believe later when he's arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he is being persecuted. Pick up after him, his books, his shoes, his clothes. Do everything for him so he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility onto others. Let him read all the printed matter he can get his hands on. Never think of monitoring what he watches. Sterilize the silverware, but let him feast his mind on garbage. Quarrel frequently in his presence. Then he won't be too surprised when his home is broken up later. Give your child all the spending money he wants. Don't make him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you did? Take his side against neighbors, teachers, policemen, religious leaders, and any authority. They're all against him. When he gets into real trouble, make up excuses for yourself by saying, "I never could do anything with him. He's just a bad seed." And then last of all, prepare for a life of grief. I thought that's pretty good. And you know, I want to, in this class, examine what the Bible has to say about training our children. And I realize some of you are probably saying, man, why on earth are you teaching this class? You're a young kid, and you've got kids that are young, and you're just starting out. I don't know why I'm up here. Talk to my grandpa. Maybe he thought my children were unruly, and I needed to really study on this. And I'm glad he gave me this topic, because I do need to work on this. And a lot of what I'm going to use today is firsthand experience. Not my own with my kids, but my mom and dad with me, and what they taught me, and how they taught me, and how they raised me, and how they trained me. And I'm also going to use some of the things that I've seen in my father-in-law and mother-in-law as they train my wife. We've tried to combine both. I'm very fortunate. I think I'm probably one of the most unique people, because I've got mom and dad that are right with God, and then I've got Bob and Susie, they're right with God, and I'm very blessed, and very, very fortunate. And I'd like to just thank both of them publicly. I'd like to thank my mom and dad for raising me upright. I really appreciate that. And I was hard-headed and not the easiest to raise up, I'm sure. But I appreciate them sticking in there and raising me upright. And I appreciate Bob and Susie back there training up Shiloh right too. Having a godly wife is very, very wonderful. And so as we go on here this morning, I want you just to realize, if you think you've got training your child all figured out, you need to soften your heart right now. If you think you've got this a corner on the market on this, you're crazy. I'll just tell you that. Just flat out. If you think you've got it all figured out, you've got a big problem. There's a lot of work to do here. And I don't think any of us can ever have this all figured out. So we're going to examine what the Bible has to say about training our children. We're going to look at three different questions. First of all, how should we train our children? I think we need to make sure we believe in and we use God's method. Does God have a method for training our children? He does. I'm going to run through some verses pretty quickly here. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. You know, it is not easy to spank your children, is it? And I know there's going to be some people that will be mad at me and upset at me for preaching this. But God's way and God's method is that you spank your children. I don't care what society today says. I don't care what all the psychologists in the world say. God's method says you spank your child. I am sick and tired of parents that think the psychologists out here and all the parenting magazines and all the other people have it all figured out and God knows nothing. We need to have our heads examined, don't we? Does God know a little more than I do? A lot more. Does he know a lot more than the psychologist and all the other doctors and everybody else you want to line up that says you shouldn't spank your child? He does. He even knows more than Dr. James Dobson. I tell you what, I'm fed up with that. I was raised this way. My mom and dad spanked me, and I'm glad they did. You know, it's crazy. The ideas that are out here today about spanking. How many of you had parents that spanked you? Raise your hand up high in the air. Now just look around the room. Look at everybody that was spanked. Now I want to tell you what they're telling people today. They're telling people that if you spank your child, you know what you're going to do? What your child's going to grow up to do? Act violently toward others. How many of you have ever gone off and hauled off and punched your wife or your husband? Raise your hand. Well, maybe you shouldn't. You might have come out on the losing end of the deal. I don't know. I think that's a bunch of hogwash, isn't it? I never hit my wife, never even attempted to, and I got plenty of spankings when I was growing up. Sounds to me like a pretty good excuse, doesn't it, to you? You're going to act violently. Oh, whatever. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, "The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother." Proverbs 29:17, "Discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul." Now, there are so many modern ideas today that you shouldn't spank your child. I got on the internet and started doing some research. I found a website that cracked me up. It's called nospanking.com or .org. I couldn't believe that. And I got some stuff off there. They said spanking can cause your child to have psychological problems when they become adults. Adults whose parents hit them as adolescents are more likely to be depressed than those whose parents did not. And they just carry on. Have all these different studies they've done and whatever. Bunch of garbage, isn't it? Now you might say, well, all you've used so far is Old Testament. Well, turn to your New Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 8. Says, "If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness." Now get this next verse. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Did everybody get that? Discipline is not to be pleasant. When I got spanked, it was not pleasant. It hurt. And that's why God wants us to do it that way. This timeout business is a bunch of garbage. Stick your kid in the corner and he sits there and he can think all the bad thoughts he wants. He can rebel against you. He can do whatever he wants while he's sitting over there in the corner. We had one family where they'd stick their kid in the corner and he'd sit there and spit on the wall. Oh, that did a lot of good, didn't it? I'll tell you what, it's ridiculous. But he goes on to say there, later on, however, what does it do? It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Are you thankful that your parents disciplined you? Well, don't stop doing it to your kid. How unfair is that? You're thankful your parents did it to you, but you're not going to do it to your child? Because you all of a sudden have it all figured out more than your parents did, more than anybody else, more than God? We've got to believe in these God's method. How should we train our children? Don't exasperate them. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, where we started, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." You know, we can exasperate our children by having unreasonable commands and needless severity. There was a fellow that was in a store. He was in a store and he was pushing his cart along, and he had his shopping cart full of stuff, and he had a little young kid in there, and the kid was throwing a fit and crying and screaming. And so he was walking up and down the aisles, and he kept talking to himself, and he kept saying, "Keep calm, George. Don't get excited, George. Don't yell, George." And a lady was watching all this going on. And she thought, man alive, that is incredible. So she went up to him and she said, "You are certainly to be admired and commended for your patience with your child." He said, "Ma'am," said, "I'm George." I thought that was pretty good. There are times you need to have patience. And I'll just tell you, you do need to be careful in public how you discipline your kids. That's just a warning. We don't live in a society anymore, like I just showed you. They don't think spanking is necessary. And they think it's child abuse, a lot of them do. And you've got to be very careful and wise
and when you administer discipline. And be patient. You know, when we're told here not to provoke our children and not to exasperate them, when we discipline our children because we're just angry, do you think that's going to exasperate them? And when you discipline your child because you've just gotten fed up and they've done something over and over and over, and finally you just get mad and you just fly off the handle and spank them, and then you walk out and you're all done, is that going to be exasperating to a kid? You know, I really love my dad. And when Dad would spank us, he'd take us into the bathroom or in the bedroom. He'd explain to us what we had done wrong. He asked us if we had, talked to us about what we had done. It wasn't long, drawn out, carried out. He'd explain it. We would understand. He'd spank us. He'd have us quit crying. He'd give us a hug. Sometimes we'd pray together. And we'd walk out and it was over. I love him for that. And I really appreciate him for doing that. And I try to do that with my children. Now, I want them to grow up loving me and appreciating discipline. And I'll just tell you, there is a right way to do it and there's a wrong way. And you need to check your life out and how you discipline your kids and make sure you're doing it the right way. And then how should we train our children? We need to praise our children when they do good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up." You know, when your children do good, you need to encourage them and build them up. You do. I can remember I'd get good grades at school, and one of the first things I wanted to do is show my mom and show my dad. My mom was a stickler on us getting good grades. Dad was too, but mom, she really made sure we did. And whenever I did get good grades, I loved to show it to them because they would praise me for that. And they appreciated us getting good grades. And sometimes they'd even take us out to get ice cream, or they would reward us for working hard. And that made me feel good and made you want to do good. And so praise your children. How should we train our children? Don't make excuses for your kids. And don't make excuses for why you don't discipline them. So many people say, "Well, I don't train my child. I don't discipline them because I'm too busy." I'd like to challenge you. Noah in the Old Testament, when he was told to build the ark, he did not have any children. Did you realize that? You go back and study it. We won't take time to do it this morning. He didn't have kids yet. Am I right in that? If I've got my studies on that correct, I'm pretty sure I do. He had children after God told him to build the ark. And you know what he managed to do? He built the ark. He preached to the world of that time. And guess who got on the ark with him? His children, his three boys, and their wives. Did he have something figured out? The Bible doesn't tell us everything about Noah, but he must have not made excuses of being too busy. And then, right along with that, how should we train our children? We need to spend time with them. Now, I know we've probably all heard that commercial on the radio, at least I've heard it on the radio, with the Mormons family. Isn't it about time? And, it's so, I don't know, it annoys me because it's so, I don't know, it's just, yeah, family, isn't it about time? But I do want to tell you something. Have you ever been around Mormons? I've been around a few. And you know what they do have a very strong structure of? Family. Now, I don't know, I've studied Mormonism some, but they're huge. I don't know if it's because of the family thing or not. I don't know exactly. Don't we need to be concerned about our families? And do we need to spend time with our families? This is another thing. I'm not up here to just brag about my parents. I'm not trying to do that. But I do love them. And I do appreciate them. And you know what? They spent a lot of time with me growing up. And Dad and Mom would spend time with us. We were number two in their lives. God was number one. We came after that. But you know what? They spent time with us. And I really really appreciate that. My dad was a preacher growing up. He could have very easily, and I've seen preachers do this, immerse themselves in preaching. Dad preached. Dad had Bible studies. Dad taught. But Dad also took time out for us kids. And I appreciate that a lot. He could have very easily gotten all wrapped up in trying to build the church up to the point that he just forgot about us. But he didn't. And I appreciate that. I appreciate Bob and Susie back there. They spent time with Shiloh. And they had some pretty unique circumstances in their lives with Rex getting sick and all the awful, awful things they had to go through with that. And yet they still spent time with her. I appreciate that. So spend time with your kids. How should we train our children? We need to stand up to our children when they do wrong. I want to ask you a question. How many of you did wrong when you were growing up? Raise your hand. So we don't have any perfect people here today, right? All right. Just got to get that straight, because sometimes I think parents forget that they were a kid once and they were a young person once and they did stupid, dumb things too. Your child will do wrong. Did everybody hear that? Your kid is going to do wrong. What are you going to do when he does? Now, my mom, I love her a lot. And I can tell you one thing. She knows how to spot rebellion and disobedience. I don't know. She probably really perfected her method on me. my mom could get a look, and I could be sitting, and she could probably do it right now if she wanted to. And I'd be over here crawling into the corner somewhere. She could get a look on her face, and I could be, I'm not kidding, I could be clear across the room, I could be a long ways away, and she could just look at me and have that look, and I'd be, oh boy, what am I? Man, what's going on here? What am I doing wrong, you know? And I'd be wanting to straighten up because I would know there's some reason why she's looking at me like that. And I also knew if she's looking at me like that, if I didn't straighten up and I didn't figure out things real quick when I got home or whenever she had time to get closer to me, watch out. And you know, we need some mothers that are that way, and dads. Moms are around the kids a lot. Thankfully, we have a lot of mothers here that are stay-at-home moms. The very best thing you can do for your child. Let your wife stay home with them. Make sure she can. But you know, we need some mothers and we need some dads that can spot rebellion and put a stop to it. And spot disobedience and say, this is enough. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, talks about Eli. And I'm going to read you verse 13. It says, and this was God talking to Samuel. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. Now, was this when Eli had kids that were little? His kids were already grown. And what did he fail to do? He had the power to restrain them, and he didn't. And I want to just say this today. You need to stand up to your kids as they grow up. Not just when they're little, but as they get to be big. Young adults. You still need to stand up to them when they do wrong. My mom and dad had, I don't know if it was a rule. We knew this with dad and mom. If we did wrong, and there was an adult involved, you knew who they were going to listen to? The adult. It was not going to be me. Because they knew something about me. Maybe because this is how they were too. When you get in trouble, what are you going to do? You're going to try to get out of it, aren't you? And if there's an adult involved, you're going to try to make that adult look like a fool. So you don't get in trouble. But I'll tell you what, it is very, very sad to me today.
I see parent after parent after parent, and especially it seems like as kids get older, that their kids will do wrong, and they'll be approached about it, or they'll find out about it, and you know who they defend? Their kid! I don't care if your kid's 18, 19, 17, 16, you need to realize something, they're still gonna make mistakes. Did you? Did you do wrong? So don't sit there and think your child is little Miss Lily White or little Mr. Lily White and will never do wrong. They're going to do wrong. And you better stand up to them because you might be the only one that can prevent them from going down a wrong road. And if you defend them and you stand up for them, they might keep on going down that wrong road. And you know where they might end up? They might end up in hell forever. You know what I love about my parents, even to this day? I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I go out here and I start doing wrong, you know who's going to be there to correct me and stand up to me and face me? My parents will be. You know why? They love me. It's not love to watch your kid do wrong and do nothing about it. And then to defend your kid over adults, and especially over leadership. That's a bunch of hogwash. You need to have your heart examined and your head examined and a few other things examined if you're doing that here today. And you need to repent. Because your child's life is in the balance. You keep defending them, your child's going to end up in a world of hurt. I'm also thankful for Bob and Susie back there because I know if I do wrong, they'd be knocking at my door too. Because they love me. I appreciate that. I really do. I'm thankful that I have parents and in-laws that love me enough that they'd stand up to me if I did wrong. And you need to love your child enough that you'll stand up to them. I don't care how old they are. You'll say, hey, look, you're doing wrong and I love you. I'm going to stand against you. I even have grandparents that will do that to me, too. Grandma's not in here, is she? You know, grandparents can be involved in helping their kids, grandkids do right, can't they? You know, I'm pretty special. I hold, last I knew, I was the only grandkid that Grandma ever had to spank. Grandma's not in here, is she? I don't see her. Well, anyway, I don't know if that's something to be proud of or not. Probably not. Well, I want to move real quickly here. We're almost out of time. And move on. What do we need to train our children to do? We need to train our children to love God, don't we? You know, Matthew 22:37, Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. We need to train our children to love God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. In the Old Testament, it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Isn't that how it should be? We talk to them. We read Bible stories to them. We pray with them, teach them to pray. We talk to them about different things of God. Anytime, not just when we're at church, not just when we're having family devotions, but anytime we talk to them about things of God. And we need to be a good example to our children, don't we? Now, I want to tell you something. Your kids are watching you. You can say all the right things, but if you're not living right, guess what they're going to follow? How you're living. You can say all the right things, but if you're not living it, they're going to see that. So we need to train our children to love God. We need to train our children also to be respectful. Romans chapter 13, verse 7, it says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. Do we need to teach our children to be respectful in church services? You know, when we come together to worship, who are we coming together to worship? God. Does God deserve some respect? You know, we need to teach our children to come to church dressed decently and looking nice, not looking like the Motley Crue off the street I mean, these kids that are, I mean, you know how the kids in the world dress. They look awful and rebellious, and they just have a rebellious look about them. We need to train our children. Hey, you need to look decent. We won't get into how we're to dress, but we need to train them to look decent, look nice, at least clean up their appearance a little bit and have a little respect. For who? God. Themselves, God, others, mostly God, though. And how you dress does impact how you listen and how you, your whole attitude, but we won't get into that. How about teaching them when they come to sing in church services? Do they need to sing? Sure. Does it hurt for them to sing? No. Make sure they're singing. Make sure they listen. Make sure they're being quiet, not turning around looking at everyone, not getting up and going to the bathroom. You know, my mom had another rule. If we got up and went to the bathroom, that was fine. When we got home, we'd get a spanking. You might say, oh, that's so cruel, your mom's just an old meanie. Well, my mom was pretty smart. Do you know what a lot of kids do? They like parading up and down the aisle. And they don't want to sit still, and they want to go out, and they want to go get a drink, and they want to do this, and they want to do that. And you know what? As a parent, you can put a stop to that real easy. If your kid has a problem with needing to go to the bathroom, I agree, it's not smart for a child, their bladder and everything. You got to be careful. Take them to the bathroom before you come to church. They can hold it for an hour or two. But parents don't plan. Parents don't think about that. And then their kids up and down the whole time running in and out of the church. Is that a distraction? Is that very respectful to God? No. As our children get older, you've got to be kidding me. But these older young people that have cell phones are actually sitting in church, and instead of listening, they're text messaging each other on their phones. You know what I'd do if my kid had a phone and they're doing that? I think I'd take it up and use it for shotgun practice and they could watch. They wouldn't have it, I can tell you that much. I wouldn't think it was cute they were doing it either. At least I hope I wouldn't. I shouldn't use myself because my kids aren't that old yet, should I? But then we also need to train our children to work. And I don't have time to mention this too much, but you know, our children need to be taught to work hard. And I have a study here, if you want to look at it later, it's from Harvard, that your child's future life, how they handle their family, how they handle life in general, relates right back to how they're taught to work as a child. And I can give you that information afterward if you want. I want to move on. Why do we need to train our children? We impact the quality of our child's life for how long? Forever. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Timothy knew it from what? From infancy. We need to know, teach our kids from infancy, and realize, I will impact their life for how long? Eternity. How I train them. And then we also need to realize the future of the church is in our hands. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we know the Great Commission. Jesus said to go into all the earth, and all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Well, I just want you to remember, your child needs to find God. You fail with your child, the future of the church is in jeopardy. You might say, oh, but I've gone out and look at all the other people I've saved. Well, I think you need to start at home and try to help your child come to know the Lord. If they're lost, they need to be found. And they will be lost, won't they? They will be. And I'll just leave you with one last verse. Matthew 16, verse 26. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man exchange for his soul? And I want to just ask you, what good will it be if you gain the whole world and lose your kids? That's something for you to think about. And I'll just close out there today. I hope maybe some of these different thoughts from the Word of God will help you in the training of your children. Thank you for your excellent attention. Let's be standing and dismissed with prayer.